Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today we have a special episode unlike any other episode we've done, really. This is the final program in our series, The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. And in this episode, Bob and Sean are going to share with you a number of personal stories. They'll give us some amazing examples of people who lived out and exemplified this concept of a spiritual mindset. I think you'll be quite enriched and enjoy today's program. So let's go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're finishing off this series of Six Secrets of the Christian Life. And we've been saying that there's two different approaches to spirituality, right? There's basically a legalistic approach, and that legalistic approach has a mindset that is very focused on rules and regulations and do this and don't do that. There's very long don't do lists, and there's probably even longer do lists, and it's all about, you know, you got to witness to X amount of people per day and knock on so many doors. Make sure you wake up at 4 a.m. and do at least an hour of quiet time and memorize so many verses. And, you know, it's just law upon law upon law.
You mean that's not what we're supposed to do?
Yeah. Is that not what we're supposed to do? And then there's another type, more grace-based spirituality that has what we've been calling, or what Zane Hodges calls, a spiritual mindset. Notice it has to do with your mind. And it's a mind that's not set on what you have to do in terms of commandments. It's focused on Christ.
Exactly. We're viewing Christ as the core of our life. Let me give you an example. We're doing this book, Six Secrets of the Christian Life by Zane Hodges. Well, I first met him in 1980 when I was a second-year student at Dallas Seminary. And he was known on campus to be kind of different. He was very independent-minded. And one of the things that I found out after I got to know him within about a year of knowing him was, if you can imagine this, he was on the faculty at Dallas Seminary, the leading seminary in the United States for conservative schools at the time, and he viewed that as his tent-making ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He viewed that as where he made his income, but his primary ministry in his mind was Victor Street Bible Chapel, a small Bible chapel primarily made up of Mexican-American people, maybe 40 or 50 on Sunday morning.
Right.
And he's teaching at Dallas Seminary, influencing the next generation of preachers and missionaries and theologians, and yet that's his tent-making ministry.
And most seminarians, most people who are academically minded, that's their dream job, to be a professor, a respected professor at a leading seminary.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that was me.
Right.
Right when I got my doctorate,
right.
I was like, oh, please, I got to get on here. God had different plans, and it worked out that I ended up with Grace Evangelical Society, which I believe God used me maybe more effectively than if I had taught at Dallas Seminary all these years. But the truth is, it impressed me that Zane wasn't caught up in prestige.
Right.
He ended up resigning at Dallas Seminary when he was about 56 years old.
Right.
And he resigned because, according to what he told me, the seminary was no longer consistently following its own doctrinal statement. And so he was out of step with many of the other faculty, because he still abided by the doctrinal statement and most didn't. And so as a result, he felt that it was time for him to leave. And he left a good job with plenty of prestige and influence at 56, and he wouldn't have had to have retired until he was 70. So he gave up 14 years of that. And I remember in 1989, I started going to the national meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society, and I started doing little papers. Well, before I got involved, Zane used to do plenary messages. That was in front of all the scholars that were there. I was speaking in front of 10 people. He was speaking in front of the whole group, 1,000 or more people. But Zane stopped doing that. I think the main reason he stopped doing it was because he decided it wasn't really that spiritually beneficial for him to do it. He wasn't having the kind of impact that he thought he should have. Whether he was right or wrong, the truth is his reason for doing it was a spiritual mindset.
Another example would be that he never got his doctorate.
That's an interesting thing.
But he was, if I remember correctly, he worked on this majority text manuscript in textual criticism, right? He and Art Farstad put together a critical edition of what's known as the majority text, which is, these are later manuscripts, but they are the majority of manuscripts that we have.
Right.
And no one had done that up until that point.
Right. Now, they had other people that helped them, and one of the people that helped them was a man named Van Bruggen, who was in Amsterdam, and he was a faculty member at a leading school, and he said to Zane, "Zane, we'll give you a doctorate at our school. I'm confident I'll go to the faculty of the New Testament department. You'll have to write a few papers to defend the Greek New Testament according to the majority text. But I believe we can get you a doctorate based on what you've done."
And there's no question that that was doctoral level worthy work.
Right.
And Zane turned it down.
He said, "No, I don't want that." And the reason he didn't want it is he felt that having people call you doctor was a negative thing. Remember, in the New Testament, we're to call no one father, and we're not to be calling others teacher and this sort of thing. Were to be one in the church. And so he felt there was a mistake there. In fact, when I decided to get my doctorate at Dallas Seminary, he encouraged me against it. But part of his concern is that I would have gotten a big head.
Right.
I think I learned from him that part of the right mindset is you don't do that.
And that's why my kids call you Bobby Baby.
Yeah, they don't call me Dr. Bob, do they?
They don't call you Dr. Bob.
No, they call me Bobby Baby because Sharon has this Bobby Baby on her phone. I know, it's crazy.
So Zane left Dallas Seminary to minister at Victor Street, and Victor Street would not be considered a prestigious church to minister at.
No.
It's in a sketchy area of Dallas, and it's smaller. You know, some of these pastors, career-oriented pastors, are always looking for the bigger church and the more prestigious
right.
church and the biggest salary. That was not Zane's concern at all.
In fact, he lived around the church. So he lived in the Hispanic part of town. It was called East Dallas.
And I lived there for a time.
You did. And I could tell you so many stories I've heard from Luis Rodriguez. He had his refrigerator filled with Coke and 7-Up and things like that. And all these Hispanic boys, many of them gang members, would come and go to his apartment and drink Coca-Cola, etc. One time they tied him up to a tree in City Park. And left him tied up. They would steal things from his apartment at times. Some of them would. They would take advantage of him. But his mindset was such that I'm having a ministry. For a time he lived in South Dallas, in the African-American part of town. And at the end of his life, he was a member of Tony Evans' church, which is a primarily African-American church. And he was having an impact in that church. And he would regularly visit with Dr. Evans and encourage him, etc. And so Zane had a real place in his heart for ministering to Hispanic people and African-American people. In fact, he had a small Bible study. It was a Lord's Supper meeting every Sunday night with a small number of African-Americans. And the night he died, he didn't show up at the Lord's Supper meeting, and so they went over to his apartment and found him dead.
Oh, really?
I didn't
know that.
Yeah.
Wow, very interesting.
So he was a person who wasn't all caught up in, let's see, could I be a pastor of a church of 1,000? Maybe he could have, but that didn't interest him.
Mm-hmm.
Could I stay on the faculty at Dallas Seminary? That didn't interest him.
Right.
What interested him was pleasing God. I've seen this in many other people as well. Dr. Art Farstad was a good friend of Zane's. You already mentioned they did the majority text together. Art was on my board along with Zane for many years. And I found him to be a man who was very much in tune with the heart of God. And when I would talk to him, there was no pretense, even though he was a mega genius and did his personal devotions in 7 different languages.
We're talking about Art Farstad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a man who taught at Dallas Seminary, but gave that up to be the head editor for the New King James Version of the Bible. He was one who had a small Plymouth Brethren church in his home, and he delighted in teaching God's word, and there were only maybe 20 people coming. He had a very spiritual mindset. And another person I think of, there's a husband and wife that used to come to our annual conference for years and years, Dale and Diane Boring.
Mm-hmm.
Dale came down with a very serious illness that became debilitating and eventually started taking his mental abilities as well, to where he didn't have his full mental abilities. At the end, he would have times where he was lucid, but many times when he wasn't. And through that whole time of suffering, I would get updates from Diane via email about how she was praising God that Dale had this lucid moment, and she would comment on that. And she took care of him for years. And now she's been a widow for a number of years, and I delight in getting her emails and seeing things she blogs about. She just loves to serve Christ.
Right.
That's the heart of what it is to be spiritually minded, is we want to serve God. We want to please God. We're not concerned about how many people know about us, how prestigious we are, how much money we're making. What we're concerned about is the Lord's well done, good servant.
Right. I love this image of Zane having a refrigerator full of pop. There's no command in the Bible to fill your refrigerator full of pop and to give it to kids. That's just something that just occurred to him to do because he loved the Lord and he loved these kids. And so it occurred to him that maybe they'd want some pop as an outreach thing. And isn't that what having the spiritual mindset is? The Spirit is going to lead you places that are unexpected.
And I didn't mention, but he led probably 20 or 30 of these boys to faith in Christ. I mean, it was amazing the ministry he had among gang members in East Dallas.
If you want to develop as a Christian, if you want to grow as a believer, you might have been trying up until this point to live up to commands and rules and regulations, and you might have had a very legalistic view of spirituality. Paul calls that having a mind set on the flesh. Why don't you try having a mind set on the Spirit? That's a mindset that rests in Christ's sufficiency, that knows that you are saved by faith apart from works, and that you're eternally secure no matter what you do, and that will just free you up to love Christ as he wants you to love him, and to love your neighbor as the Spirit opens up doors. Who knows what that's going to look like? It might not lead to great prestige or money or a lot of accolades, but it will lead to the Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Amen.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion and those wonderful practical examples of people who have a spiritual mindset. I know that we can all grow from looking to the example of others in the faith. Well, maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subject that we've been talking about in this series, the six secrets of the Christian life. And if that's the case, I hope you'll take advantage of what we have on our website. We have a bookstore, and in that bookstore, you can get your very own copy of this wonderful little book. It's easy to read, it's short, and it's available for you right there, right now. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Once you're there, you can either put the title in the search bar, or you can go directly to the store and get your own copy. Now, while you're on our website, I hope you'll take advantage of our many free resources because it is loaded with all kinds of materials that are there to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. You can get a free subscription to our magazine, to our blog post, to our podcast, and much more. Please come stop by faithalone.org and find out what's there for you. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin a brand new series on the biblical book of Hebrews, and we have a special guest that's going to be with us for the duration of that series, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.